views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cane. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A. Today is December the 15th, 2016. It is a Thursday, and just want to thank you all for listening today and looking forward to bringing you a live show. And like I said in the prompt, this is going to be one of the most important shows that we've ever brought to you here on Tando Radio Show, in my opinion, because some of the information, some of the things that we're going to be talking about, because it will have a direct effect on you and what is really being actually orchestrated in today's world. But before we get into that, let's talk about how you can support Black Talk Radio Network, which has been so beneficial to you, your family, and our overall community. You could do that by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com, and you'll see the digital crowdfunding black media prompt that's right by the homepage. You could do it that way. There's a crowdfunding campaign that's going on, as well as on the far right-hand margin, you'll see a donation prompt that's there in green with two holding hands. You will see that, and you can just hit that, and you can make your donations, your financial, give some of your financial energy to Black Talk Radio Network to make sure that they continue to be able to bring you all of the programs that you have had so much benefit from and you see as being very very, very important and strategically important for the overall future of yourself, your family, and our overall community. So this network can only maintain its overall direction with your support. It has done as much as it could do with just the support of a few individuals. Now it requires the whole nation, the whole village, the whole community to take on the responsibility of ensuring that this institution will be here in the future and be part of the future that will be carved out and determined by those that have the best interest of us all at hand. So be part of that, and to make sure that you support Black Talk Radio Network, give whatever you can give. The donation prompts are there, and it's very easy to do. Okay, so now also Black Talk Radio Network has devised a social media outlet for everyone to engage in so that they don't have to be on Fedbook and all the other NSA platforms, because that's what they are. And you know, one of the things I think is so important, today it came out that Fedbook is going to start to label news. No, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to start to censor news. This is why way before that happened, I said I wanted to get it off of Facebook, and my man Scotty put together BTR Community, because I knew that this is where these things were going to be going, and it was a detriment. It served its purpose, but now we have the capability of actually establishing our own and supporting our own, which is going to be very, very important in the future. You may not see it now as much, but it will be very important. The relationships that you forge with people is going to be extremely important in the coming future. So make sure that you do and support your own cause. And Black Talk Radio Networking is part of that. So you can do that. Be part of the social media program that, or excuse me, the social media platform that's been established by Black Talk Radio Network. It is known as BTR Community. And you can find that on the same website that you can find the donation on Black Talk Radio Network's website. And that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Just go down in the far right-hand margin. You'll see a white B that's there, and you can just click that, and it's $24 a year for membership, $24 a year, and you can promote yourself, your business, some events that you think are important, or whatever it is that you would like to promote there, and you don't have to worry about being adversely affected from your comments, your postings, or what you're supporting, or what you think, and your overall engagement in the platform won't be adversely affected. Many people have been adversely affected by the Fed book and everything else. You just don't know it. That stuff is definitely, people can obtain it that you may not want to obtain what you think about personally about different things. And that's where they're drawing their overall being able to have it as another form, and it's been used as this form as another disqualifier and a deselector in a lot of choices. So get off of that. Get on with BTR Community, but you don't have to worry about that. Your overall identity will never be sold into any bidder for your information. So definitely go there. $24 a month, a year. You can't beat that. There's $24 a year. Also, if you're interested in acquiring real money, you can go to Prosperity Mint, ProsperityMint. I don't know why. Every time I see that, I feel like I'm singing the old Queen Latifah song. So just me. But definitely you can go to Prosperity Mint, and there you can see what Prosperity Mint has in has an inventory, and then you can actually save in a way in which you're not paid. Every person that you know, every person that I know is paid in cash, which is a slave's wage. But that doesn't mean that you have to save in that same slave wage. You can exchange that for real money, and you can actually save as a king or save as a lady and a gentleman, which is so important in real assets. And that is going to be extremely important in the coming future, and we're going to somewhat talk about that, but it has some very, very importance to this whole thing in today's show, and you'll see what I mean by that. So you could do that by going to Prosperity Mint. Make sure you email wolfsticks@gmail.com before you make your purchase at Prosperity Mint, so someone can actually ensure that you are aware of the buying process and to make sure that you are doing it correctly, okay? So with that being said, let's jump into what's in the news, and we're going to jump into today's show. Now, what I want to do first and foremost is I want to go back to two things that we posted yesterday, because it has a lot to do with today. And it came, this one, first article from 22 hours ago, and it's posted inside a BTR Community from Reuters. China installs weapon systems on artificial islands, the U.S. think tank. Washington. China appears to have installed weapons, including anti-aircraft and anti-missile systems, on seven of the artificial islands it has built in the South Sea of China, a U.S. think tank report citing a new satellite imagery. Yep, it is. That is very important, especially for what's going on, what we're going to be talking about today. Next article has everything to do with what's going on here today as well. It comes from Financial Post. IBM's, and this was from yesterday, IBM's plan to hire 25,000 people in the U.S., investing $1 billion over the next 4 years, okay? And then some of you, man, had a funny avatar with that, man, had me dying. And then my man Mario responded to it and learned as well. So let me tell you, before we go any further, let me tell you what I think is definitely happening. We talked about this before on Candle Radio Show. The so-called Make America Great theme that you're starting to see right now is something that we talked about a long time ago, a year and a half ago. I said that at some point and at some time, you're going to see that there will be plenty of jobs in the United States, but no one will be paid anything for them. Remember what happened during the past 20, 30 years there's been a lot of companies that have moved their overall workforce operations outside of the United States. They moved to different foreign countries, and why? Because it was what? Cheaper labor there, right? Well,
Dave,
here's what
Dave,
you're not being told, and not which you're not being what you're not being let in on is this. Those companies have not changed their overall directive. Their overall directive is to have a profit at all means. By all means.
David.
And the reason why they're going to be... Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
When you mention that, please, because I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just...
No, you're good, brother.
I had to say this, bro. We talk a lot about outsourcing, but we don't talk about insourcing. Insourcing is where those jobs go to the prison.
Yep. That's exactly it. And what you're seeing is you're starting to see the so-called Make America Great Again. You have to remember, what was the establishing of the geopolitical, economical, military, and religious might of the so-called the United States of America? It was done by enslavement. It was done purely by enslavement. The stealing of energy from individuals and exploiting those individuals to take their energy for their overall consumption. That is what made America great. It was never the freedom, because it was an oxymoron to have freedom and slavery said in the same sentence. It's like freeze or burn. It doesn't mix. So what's happening here is, yes, you're going to start to see, especially with the new celebrity figureheads that are going to be coming into so-called the positions of authority, even though they're celebrity positions of authority. But see, what they're all going to be doing is this. The so-called Make America Great Again is code word for what is really going to be happening. They're going to bring a lot of jobs here. And like Scotty said, those jobs are going to be actually serviced by the expansion of the industrial prison complex, and also by this expansion as well. They're going to have the slave labor return to America, just as they outsourced it before, and they sent jobs to other countries because they didn't have to pay the people anything. They're going to do the exact same thing here. But see, from the way most people here think, they say, oh, this company is going, they're going to be bringing jobs, oh good, this, but you don't realize what their overall agenda is. They're going to be expanding the overall enslavement of the general population through the prison industrial complex and through the everyday workforce. You are going to be working in sweatshops for these companies. Why? Because that is the agenda. They're returning. There is no company that goes from having profitability that they had from the outside to actually divesting that property, that profit, or losing by going back to a place where they would have to pay much higher labor costs at a higher hourly rate. You already see the collapse of the pension system starting to happen. You're starting to see the collapse of the monetary starting to happen. That's because these companies know what's going to be happening, because they're a part of that itself. They're moving back to the United States to reopen up the enslavement of old, but in a different form. With the deception that they're going to be paying you something. They're not going to be paying you anything. And this is very, very important. This is all a deceptive move. And this is a part of what today's show is going to be about. And I'm going to attempt to chronicle how this all started and where it's going to be going. Right now, the United States is in receivership. And because it's in receivership, those companies that had left the United States because they made pacts with other nations, those nations are now coming here with those businesses, and they're going to bring the sweatshops here. This is why it's been so important for us to get the message to you, to start to prepare to put yourself and your family in a position of advantage before these events happen. But ladies and gentlemen, they are going to be here, and they are going to swell. And they are going to be very apparent. But if you're not properly prepared for it all, it will be very little that many will be able to do because of fear, because of being put in a position of disadvantage, and many will actually capitulate to it all. And this is going to be a very, very difficult time. I think it's going to be far worse than anything that's been known before in the past. Far, far worse. So, today's show, Tando Radio Show, today the topic is Pull It. And I said, and this will be the most important show that we've done because of what we will be talking about and what we'll tell. And if it's, you know, possible, you shouldn't miss today's show. Now, what do I mean by pull it? I want you all to do a little research. See, back in 2001, in August of 2001, I took a group of young people from Los Angeles to New York, around about 40 of them. About 25, 30 of them. And we were passing the World Trade Center. And I told everyone to take a look at these buildings and get a good look at them because it's the last time that you'll ever see them. And they won't be here much longer. And the person, the chaperone that was with me as well, she looked at me and laughed and said, "Oh, Dave." 3 weeks later, 9/11 happened. And she was shocked. She said, "Dave, what happened? How did you know?" Well, because when you look at history, they tell people, and they always tell you, the so-called manipulators and the deceivers of the global paradigm always tell you what they're going to do. They have a language that they speak. And if you learn the language, you can see a lot of the things that they're going to say is going to happen before it happens. And that was the only reason why, because I knew about history and I knew what the agenda was. It was quite apparent. But here's what was so important about that, and this is why today's show is called Pull It. Called Pull It because the deception was that buildings over 110 stories were brought down by tin cans that had an engine on it that flew into them. That was the deception. But in actuality, the thermite, the charges to, the demolitious charges to implode the buildings had already been set far in advance. And they were strategically staged inside of the buildings so that the appropriate time when the word was given to pull it, that's exactly what happened. They demolished and imploded those buildings into a free fall. That's exactly what's going to happen here. And today want to take a look at where the thermite and the charges were set on the structural integrity of what you call the American economy and what many call the American economy and your way of life. So what we want to do is take a look at that so that you can see that is not going to be by the planes that ran into the building. It was done way before, and it was pulled. Now, the pull it actually came from what was heard, and you can do this yourself, do some research on your own, you can hear it, YouTube 9/11 pull it, where you can actually hear before World Trade Center building number 7 was collapsed and demolished and imploded. You can hear them say from the live audio that was outside, they're about to pull it. And the news media was actually broadcasting that the building had collapsed before it actually had collapsed. I know, I was watching it. And I said, "What did they just say?" Did they say they're going to pull it and they're going to implode the building and they're going to bring it down? And lo and behold, that's what happened. Because they always tell you before they do it. So that's what today's show is going to be about. Now you're starting to see from some of the things that we posted. I'm going to just go across some of the things and want to jump right into the show. A bipartisan, this one came from Extra News Feed, a bipartisan electoral asked James Clapper to release facts on the outside interference in the U.S. election. Smokescreen. Then the next article from Long Room report, House Intelligence Committee abruptly canceled briefing after the CIA declined to attend. They were supposed to have a CIA briefing, a House Intelligence Committee, today, but the CIA, it was abruptly canceled because the CIA declined to attend. They're going to bring something else in the future so that they will bring you another flying tin can with an engine on it for everyone to see. And that is going to be the deception of what's really happening. Next article comes from Bloomberg. Companies are already canceling plans to set up operations in Mexico. Not only are companies canceling plans to set up operations in Mexico, they are actually canceling plans to set up operations a lot of places throughout the world because they're going to be returning to the United States. And as I said before, they're not returning to the United States for the benefit of you. They're returning to the United States for the benefit of the overall bottom line that they have. And that bottom line is to steal your energy. And they're going to be returning, and everyone thinks that this is going to make America great again. But you've forgotten the malevolent path that America had taken to become the farce of freedom that it is today. So check out that article from Bloomberg. And I said during that, it will all make sense after today's show. Next article. This was from yesterday, from the USA Today. Trump tells tech leaders, there's nobody like you in the world. And this is what he said. New York. President-elect Trump on Wednesday promised to do anything we can to help the industry he often baited during the presidential campaign. This is truly an amazing group of people, Trump said at Trump Towers to kick off a meeting with Silicon Valley's top leaders. And this is what this is the most important thing that was said that you need to know about, and how this is all a farce, is here's what was said. New York, ringed by tech elite, President-elect Donald Trump on Wednesday promised to do anything we can do to help the industry he often dated during the presidential campaign. This is truly an amazing group of people, Trump said at the Trump Towers in New York to kick off a meeting with Silicon Valley's top leaders. I want to add that I'm here to help you folks do well. I want to add that I'm here to help you folks do well, to do well. A dozen tech A-listers, Apple CEO, Alphabet, Microsoft, Amazon, Tesla, IBM, Intel, among others, sat down for 2 hours meeting with the president-elect to discuss jobs, immigration policies, China, cyber attack, and taxes. Trump told the group that his administration is going to be here for you. You can call my people, and you'll call me. We have no, let me see, let me move this down. We have no formal chain of command around here. He suggested, 1 second.
Now is the time to help the better breathing back when it reaches. Now is the time for Seoza. Both days, somewhere free Seoza opens airways in just 5 minutes.
Person from MI, if you would, please, mute your...
will increase the risk of death in people with asthma. This risk is unknown in COPD. He also doesn't want to rest when he works with
others. Hey, Scotty. Okay, cool.
Yeah, what's going on?
Thank you. All right, so let me pick back up where we were. Okay, so give me 1 second. All right, here we go. So they were all meeting in Trump Tower, and here was the most important thing. He said that he wanted these group of individuals and their companies to do well. And basically, what was that saying? That was code words for what was going to be happening. And I would say to you, why is this so important? This is so important because they've already been doing well. They've been doing well for a very long time. They have not met the overall economic perils that the everyday person has met. And he said, it's his goal to help you folks do well. Well, they have been doing well. But here is what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. The United States is in receivership. And they're going to be changing all of the labor laws. Remember, whenever there is a fight for more, a higher living wage for people, there's a certain set of the government that always opposes that, but in actuality, the whole government opposes that. Because they want to pay you as least and as little as they possibly can. And this is what this meeting is all about. And this is why we have to be wise as to what's really going on. Look at the notables that are here. Facebook, Twitter, SpaceX, and all these other institutions. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a setup. It's a setup for the demise of the future because this country is in receivership. And I'm going to show you how this country is in receivership. So check out that article. Read it for yourself. Very important that you know. But that plays into today's show. Let me get back to it. How much time we got? Okay, a couple of more articles before we go to our commercial break, and then we're going to get into today's show. Next article comes from Bloomberg. Kissinger at 93 expounds on Rex Tillerson, One China and Trump. If there is no greater, there's a couple living human entity of evil. It will be none other than Henry Kissinger in so many ways. And there's a reason why he's being sought for his advisement, because it's telling you everything. And what we're going to do, we're going to take a look at the history of Henry Kissinger. I'm going to just say this. Henry Kissinger was an intelligence officer in his youth for the Nazis. And these are the ways of the Nazis. It is not a political organization. They are a cult that practice ritual. They have rituals in their overall establishment. And we're going to take a look at this. This is very critical, so I'm going to just read this real quick. Henry Kissinger, the 93-year-old foreign policy guru to world leaders, because they all practice this, isn't slowing down. On Wednesday, he weighed in on Donald Trump's pick of ExxonMobil chief Rex Tillerson as the top U.S. diplomat, the importance of one China policy, and the president-elect's decision to take phone calls from Taiwan leaders. We're going to take a look at this and why this is so important. Last one comes from Business Insider. China's peace will be seriously impacted if one China policy is damaged. This is where we're going to pick up when we come back, what this is all about and why this affects you, our children, and the overall future decisions that we will have to make. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Definitely, we'll be right back. Make sure at any time after we finish the part of the show, if you'd like to jump in and have a question or comment, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. We are looking at COVID. Very important that we know what's coming and what is here. Listen to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A., coming to you live from FEMA Region Number 6 at any time during after the presentation. If you would like to, and I'll let you know when we're going to be taking calls, when it just hit on some things that we need to hit on, and then we'll be taking some of your calls. If you would like to call in, give us a call at 866-510-9025, and then you'll hit **, and then I'll see you in queue, and then we'll bring you up so that you can ask your question or make your comment. Very, very important. As I always say, a dialogue is much more important than a monologue. So don't hesitate. If you have a question or comment, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025. Then hit **. I will see you in queue and we'll bring you up. Today's show is titled As Pull It. As it was pulled in New York, so shall it be pulled again by the system. Very simple. So what I want to do is I want to start off with Henry Kissinger. There's an article that Bloomberg had posted, and we're going to take a look at that really quickly, if I can just get it to come up one sec. And we want to start there. And the reason why we want to start there, because it's very important that we know some of the tactics of the past, because they like to repeat and rehash those tactics. So here we go. This Bloomberg article, then, is going to start the pull it part of the show. Kissinger at 93 expands on Rex Tillerson's One China and Trump. Tillerson's job to work with Russia, Kissinger said. Kissinger served as a top diplomat to President Nixon and Ford. Article says, Henry Kissinger, the 93-year-old foreign policy guru to the world leaders, isn't slowing down. On Wednesday, he weighed in on Donald Trump's pick of ExxonMobil Corporation Chief Rex Tillerson as the top U.S. diplomat. The importance of the One China policy and the president-elect's decision to take a phone call from Taiwan's leader. Speaking to the Committee of 100, a nonprofit that works on improving U.S.-China relations, Kissinger dismissed criticism that Tillerson's work winning contracts with Russia for Exxon disqualifies him for the State Department job. Move this down. This is what he said. I pay no attention to that argument that he is too friendly with Russia, Kissinger said. Because Kissinger is very friendly with Putin himself. As the head of Exxon, it was his job to get along with Russia. He would be useful as the head of Exxon. It would be useful as the head of Exxon if he didn't have a working relationship with Russia. It wouldn't be useful. It would be useless. Citing that, let me move this down. Sorry about that. Citing his acquaintance with Tillerson from serving together on the board of a Washington-based think tank, and that is the Committee on Foreign Relations, CFR. These are some of the committees that a lot of these individuals that you are seeing are directly associated with. ladies and gentlemen, you don't have any governments around the world that are serving you. They are all in one big fraternity to serve themselves at the expense of you.
Dave, I have a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Do you think that these numerous think tanks, it don't matter whether they so-called conservative or liberal to me, but would you say that these think tanks represent this real shadow government, the real power?
Yes, man, my man Scotty. And I was just about to say that Kissinger is probably one of the high officials in the shadow government. The only reason why I don't think that he is the main character is because we all know his name. Yes, this is the shadow government that is being exposed here. This is why Bloomberg didn't say what the name of that committee was. This is the shadow government. Yes. Exactly right, Scotty. This is why Kissinger at 93 is a guru and an advisor to, as they said earlier, to the world leaders. The shadow government. So check this out. It goes on. From a Washington-based think tank, Kissinger praised Trump's selection and added, "We would not think about these relationships as personal. We should not think about these relationships as personal relationships of individuals." A message left with Kissinger's consulting company, Kissinger Association, asked whether the firm had a financial relationship with Exxon. Wasn't immediately answered. Going down. Weeks before he takes office on January the 20th, Trump has interjected in an air of unpredictability into U.S. relationships with both allies and adversaries. In addition to saying he wants friendly ties with Russia, Trump slammed China over currency and trading. Had an unprecedented call with Taiwan's leader praised the Philippine president's violent war on drugs and promised to visit Pakistan, which is going to piss off India. A sign of validation President Barack Obama never bestowed on Islamabad. Goes on. That's a lot of material for Kissinger, who broke the U.S. Rapprochement with China as Nixon's Secretary of State more than 40 decades ago and has advised U.S. presidents ever since to work with Trump. Heading to the White House next month, Kissinger continues to fulfill a role of unofficial advisor to the world's most powerful leaders, visiting both Trump in his New York office and Chinese President Xi Jinping in Beijing since November 8th election. He sat with them both since the election. Kissinger, Trump's for making Taiwan a key issue at the beginning of his dialogue with China by taking a protocol break phone call with the island's president this month. He called the move unwise. Kissinger said that was unwise of Trump and not the most efficient. However, he said he is hopefully optimistic and confident that Trump will uphold the decade-old One China policy and avoid diplomatic or formal relations with the island that China considers part of its territory. And I'm going to stop there. Well, wait, let me go on. One more. China's protest. One should give these things little time. The new administration isn't in office yet, he said. Every president in the United States since 1971 and both parties have accepted the framework. And once the framework is studied, I do not expect it to be overturned. Kissinger did not say what advice he gave the Chinese during his most recent visit, but the government officials responded to Trump's Taiwan call was measured with Beijing logging a solemn a mild form of diplomatic protest and urging the U.S. authorities to adhere to the so-called One China principle. It stops short of criticizing Trump. Now let's get to why is this so important. Here's what happened, ladies and gentlemen. In July of 1971, Henry Kissinger was the Secretary of State of the United States, so to speak. He was sent off on an emergency meeting to China in July of 1971. And while he was there, this is what I suspect happened and why you should care. Here's what happened. The U.S. was already broke, going broke, and there was a transfer of power that needed to be interjected for the future. And this is where I believe the overall thermite, which is something that cuts through steel, and what was used to bring down the buildings in 9/11, and the overall C4 or the explosives were strategically placed to implode this country. Kissinger goes over to, in July of 1971, is goes over in an emergency meeting to China. And while he's there, he cuts a deal. And this is the deal, I think, don't know it completely, but I suspect that this was the deal that was cut. We realize that China is growing. We won't be able to stop the growth of China. So since China is growing with its large population, there will be a very, very large population that we can draw from to until they become the number one economy of the world, because you will be because of the population. So let's leverage that. You, your government and our government, leverage that to our advantage. And what we'll do is this, is that we will send you our governmental, what we'll send you is we'll send you companies from the United States. They will send you their intellectual properties on how to manufacture, how to build, how to create business, and how, and we'll give you our relationships with others, and we will make you an economic superpower in exchange for you will buy our debt. And in buying our debt, that'd be the trade-off. You'll buy our debt, and because your country is going to grow, by you growing, you'll be able to afford to buy our debt, because we will give you all of the contracts, we will give you all of the manufacturing know-how and capabilities and the intellectual properties so that you'll be able to use it to your advantage, because you have the workforce to do it. And over the over time, you will become more influential economically and geopolitically, and you will be able to give your citizens more, because if you don't, at the rate that they're growing now, they're going to overthrow you, and that is going to cause for a problem globally. Because then others will emulate and mirror that. And we don't want that to happen. So this is what we'll do. We'll give you the know-how and you'll buy our debt. China's response: fine. But here also, you're broke. You're broke. And because you're broke, there's going to be something that you're going to have to collateralize this deal with. And we want your gold. What did Kissinger say? As knowing the importance of gold, this is why the Germans were going all through, the Nazis were going all over the world stealing gold. What did Kissinger say? No problem. Then, 1 month later, on August the 15th, 1971, there was an interruption to all of the American TVs throughout the country. Nixon came on and gave a speech. And what we're going to do right now, Scotty, if you're there, if you could play this, this is what Nixon said August the 15th in 1971, after Henry Kissinger had returned from his emergency meeting with the Chinese 1 month earlier. Scott, if you're able to cue that up, I would appreciate it. If you can't, I'll do it. Are you able to? Hey, Scotty? Okay, Scotty went. Okay, so don't worry about it. I got it, everyone. Let me cue this up. And this is Henry Kissinger from July the 15th of 1971. And you'll see the importance of this. Give me 1 second. Here we go. 1 sec. The food in between. 1 second. Hold on 1 second. Of course, my system is messing up. Let me stop this real quick. I don't know why I jumped for it. Here we go. 1 sec. Cue this up real quick. Very important. So pay attention to what's being said. Here we go.
The third indispensable element in building the new prosperity is closely related to creating new jobs and halting inflation. We must protect the position of the American dollar as a pillar of monetary stability around the world. In the past 7 years, there's been an average of one international monetary crisis every year. Now, who gains from these crises? Not the working man, not the investor, not the real producers of wealth. The gainers are the international money speculators. Because they thrive on crises, they help to create them. In recent weeks, the speculators have been waging an all-out war on the American dollar. The strength of a nation's currency is based on the strength of that nation's economy. And the American economy is by far the strongest in the world. Accordingly, I have directed the Secretary of the Treasury to take the action necessary to defend the dollar against the speculators. I have directed Secretary Connolly to suspend temporarily the convertibility of the dollar into gold or other reserve assets.
Okay, let me stop there real quick. He directed the Secretary of the Treasury was Connolly. Let me tell you who Connolly was. Connolly was sitting in front of Kennedy when Kennedy was shot in Dallas. He became the Secretary of the Treasury. All of this starts to come together. And what Nixon just did right here was he closed the gold window. But I want to get back to it so that you can hear it, but I just wanted you all to know who Connolly was and the significance of all of this. This has very demonic and murderous ties to what is going on here. So here we go.
Except in amounts and conditions determined to be in the interest of monetary stability and in the best interest of the United States. Now, what does this action, which is very technical, what does it mean for you? Let me lay to rest the bugaboo of what is called devaluation. If you want to buy a foreign car or take a trip abroad, market conditions may cause your dollar to buy slightly less. But if you are among the overwhelming majority of Americans who buy American-made products in America, your dollar will be worth just as much tomorrow as it is today.
Do you hear the sham? Do you hear the scam? See, what happened was they demonetized the dollar. This was a surprise to everyone on August the 15th, 1971. It was the same surprise that happened November the 8th of 2016 when Mondi did the exact same thing but took the whole currency, 85% of it, out of circulation. But see, Nixon closed the gold window so you couldn't convert. You no longer could take your cash and exchange it for gold for the value of gold, nor could other countries. Why? Because the U.S. had no gold anymore. Where did the gold go? It went to China off the deal that was forged in July, 1 month earlier. And this is why they had to have this immediate emergency broadcast and changing of the monetary system in the United States. It's because the United States was broke, ladies and gentlemen, and has been broke ever since. And they were artificially being upheld by China purchasing its debt and Saudi Arabia purchasing its debt, which we'll talk about in a minute. But we're going to finish this. I want you to hear what's going on. What he said about you going to the other countries to be able to buy things and you won't be able to, that's true. But if you bought here in the United States, your dollar would be fine. That's not true. One, who makes everything in the world? It's not made in the United States anymore, ladies and gentlemen. And even with all the so-called jobs that they're going to be bringing back, they're not going to be brought back for the overall sovereignty of you or the overall quality of life for you. It is going to be the diminishing of your quality of life. Second, the rest of the world is going to be sending back their cash. So it's going to destroy your purchasing power here, just like in Venezuela, just like in India. And pretty soon, it will be known as just like in the United States. And this is the setup that you're starting to see unfold in the charade that's being set forth for everyone, because the thing is that they always want to have magic. They want you to believe something. The key to magic is not to trick you, but to make you believe. They diverted our attention to something else while they're backdooring you somewhere else for the purpose of enslavement, subjugation, and stealing of your energy. So let's get back to it, and then we're going to get back into the show. Let's go.
The effect of this action, in other words, will be to stabilize the dollar. Now, this action will not win us any friends among the international money traders. But our primary concern is with the American workers and with fair competition around the world. To our friends abroad, including the many responsible members of the international banking community who are dedicated to stability and the flow of trade, I give this assurance. The United States has always been and will continue to be a forward-looking and trustworthy trading partner. In full cooperation with the International Monetary Fund and those who trade with us, we will press for the necessary reforms to set up an urgently needed new international monetary system. Stability and equal treatment is in everybody's best interest. I am determined that the American dollar must never again be a hostage in the hands of international speculators. I'm taking one further step to protect the dollar, to improve our balance of payments, and to increase jobs for Americans. As a temporary measure, I am today imposing an additional tax of 10% on goods imported into the United States.
See, deception, that tariff that they so-called impose was going to bring back and give a lot of people here jobs. What ultimately happened within that time period was just the opposite. It was actually the long process of demonetizing the currency and destabilizing the economy by the leaving of critical infrastructural jobs leaving and going other places. Now, today, you're hearing about tariffs being brought back on, and they're going to cause even worse problems than they did in 71 until now. It's the new phase. There is the insolvency phase, the debt explosion phase, the insolvency phase, and then the receivership phase. We are about to hit the insolvency phase and go into complete receivership, ladies and gentlemen. And when we come back, we're going to finish this, and then we're going to look at other things that tie into this and why you should be concerned about it. Because if you thought what they told you about slavery was so bad, you haven't seen anything yet. Listening to Tando Radio Show. Oh, wait, we got time. How much time we got? We got time. We're going to finish this, and then we're going to go into the commercial break. So let's finish this, and then we'll go right into the commercial break, and then we'll get right back to the show.
This is a better solution for international trade than direct controls on the amount of imports. This import tax is a temporary action. It isn't directed against any other country. It's an action to make certain that American products will not be at a disadvantage because of unfair exchange rates. When the unfair treatment is ended, the import tax will end as well. As a result of these actions, the product of American labor will be more competitive, and the unfair edge that some of our foreign competition has will be removed. This is a major reason why our trade balance has eroded over the past 15 years.
Wow. You know about Nixon. Was in the same group as the Bushes, a part of the whole Nazi establishment in this country, as well as Kissinger. And this was why Kennedy said there are different entities within this country. He was basically talking about the shadow government. We played it here on the president in the press, and the reason why I believe that they killed him and all of the individuals that are part of this. From, remember, the Bushes, go back to Prescott Bush being the banker and the clearinghouse for Nazi Germany, and then try to actually overthrow the U.S. government, where Smedley Butler stepped in and told everyone what was going on. And when they should have been put on trial for treason and murder, they extended themselves through today. This is what they're going to continue to do until we stop playing by their rules and understand the past that sets the precedent for today. Listen, everyone, get ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to jump back into this, and then we'll take some calls in the last 30 minutes of the show. Very, very important. There's much more that we need to expose in this pullet, because what it really means. There is a move to actually revolutionize enslavement. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. Yeah.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Crazy. Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tandem Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. It's your boy, Dave from L.A. And once we start to take phone calls, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. So let me catch everyone up to where we are. Okay, so it was Henry Kissinger that we were talking about, because it's very important that we understand what's going on right now. Has nothing to do, the cyber attacks and all of those other things, they are real and they are definitely a part of this whole thing, but they, right now they provide plausible deniability for something much more important, that is the destruction of the One China policy that is going to be actually put into place, and it's not going to work. The reason being is because it is going to work because the overall expansion of China will continue. China is now the number one economy of the world. Its GDP surpassed the U.S. by a very significant amount. The U.S. GDP was $18.6 trillion, and Japan's was $21.3 trillion. And this is what the IMF had admitted to or disclosed just this past week. But we have been telling you for a while here on Tando Radio Show that China is already the number one economy of the world. So let's jump back into it. So we just heard Nixon close the gold window. That was one of the strategical defaults that the U.S. has gone through. And they're going to continue to go through those faults because they're insolvent until they go through receivership. And the receivership is going to be one of the things that we didn't really talk about, one of the collateralization of the debt to China and the debt to the rest of the world is your labor.
David,
you up for collateral.
David.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Just to put into context of why we're seeing all these wars, undeclared wars, unconstitutional wars, but ever since, Nixon, we can go to Vietnam, even though it didn't start under him. But, just country after country after country after country after country. That's because that's the only way they can keep this racket going on along with slavery,
right,
the legal slavery they practicing. And since they have no gold, they've been stealing gold. That's Libya. That's why they help overthrow Honduras. Don't forget about the gold that was shown to be deposited in Haiti, and the Clintons put their people in over there. So that's why the countries like China, Russia, others that have more sound economies, you don't see them doing that. You don't see them. It cost a lot of bullets. Cost a lot of doggone money, especially when you're paying 100 times more than what they really should cost. I was
right,
in the military. You was in the military. That's how they keep this racket going, man. This is such an evil country, man. Please continue.
Man, Scotty, you're spot on. Exactly. See, what happens is that, as Scotty has laid out, they had to remember. Now, I want you to remember that Germany asked for their gold back in 2014. And the U.S. told them, go pound sand. No, you're not going to get it for 7 years. But before that, remember, Chavez demanded his gold back. And the first one to the window at the bank wins. He was one of the first countries to repatriate their gold. And what did the U.S. do with France? They invaded Libya and stole Libya's gold and gave that to Chavez. And then look what they did to Venezuela for doing that. See, the U.S. has no gold anymore. They gave it to China. They gave it to China off of the deal that China will continue to buy their debt. And at the appropriate time, that China will be the new beacon of freedom, and all of these individuals that make these decisions will be immune from any form of not just prosecution, but any loss. It's not prosecution. It's loss. They want to continue to enslave the world. And this is why these wars go on and on and on, and the overall stealing of labor goes on and on and on. So now, let's bring it up to pick back up where we were. here's a very important thing. So in under Kissinger, there was a audit of Fort Knox in 1973. And they actually had a picture of a investment-grade bar of gold that was being weighed. And they made a mistake. They had a postal, an official postal scale that was there, and they weighed, because they were telling everybody that they had the gold inside of Fort Knox. There was a call to audit Fort Knox, and they gave into that audit. And in that audit, and let me tell you where they first got the gold from Fort Knox. They stole it from the everyday person here in the country. In 1933, Roosevelt had the bank holiday where he told everybody that they needed to turn in their gold by May the 1st of 1933 or have a $10,000 fine and be subject to being in prison for 10 years. It was an executive order. There's no way in the world that they could have enforced that. It was completely illegal. But what did people do? It was one of the first cash for gold schemes in this country. Everyone ran to their, and they told them they had to bring it to their Federal Reserve Bank. They brought it to their bank, and then the bank would give them cash for their gold. That is where they got the gold for Fort Knox. And then all of a sudden, months after that, they revalued. They paid them $20.16 for every ounce, or $20.64. Can't remember the exact figure. But then they revalued it to over $30 an ounce for gold. They had a significant increase in their overall gold holdings. Why? Because they were going to use that for the future of the debasement of the global economy. So now, and once in 73, when they were going to do the gold audit, here's the problem. Somebody took a picture of one of the investment gold bars, which is supposed to be 99995 purity of gold. Pure gold is 999, 24 carat. So they had to have at least 22 carat grading of gold. And what happens is that at that grading of gold, you can already know what the weight of it would be. And the scale read that it was only 22 pounds the bar was, when it's supposed to be 28 pounds. That means that that bar wasn't gold. It didn't have the density of gold. And all of the gold that they were showing inside of Fort Knox was already gone. And where did it go? It went to China. Remember the article we read the other day, that they were trying to get a bargain from China. Right? So here, play it back. Why is this so insignificant? Once they took your assets from you, ladies and gentlemen, particularly a monetary asset as in critical importance as silver and gold, because silver is far more valuable. China's already had a relationship with silver far beyond gold. This is why they had the war with Britain was over silver. They don't tell you about their silver, but back to gold. See, once they steal your monetary capability, they pay you a slave's wage, and then they can demonetize that at any time. Nixon no longer, the country no longer had gold, so what did they have to do? Close the gold window so that no one else could go to the window and ask for gold from the United States, because it didn't have it. Because if the United States had it, only thing that they would have needed to do was cut back on their debt. They already had the asset of gold. Those with the gold, the golden rule, those with the gold make the rules. They closed the window because they didn't have any more gold. And so they sent it all to China. And this was a part of the one Chinese policy that is now being challenged, but it's strategically being challenged because it's time now. Here's why it's time. why this is so important. Here's why it's so important. This is what about the one Chinese policy that they're not telling you about and why it's so critical. If there's any war that really matters, is the one that they're trying to establish with China, because China is the lender. The U.S. is the broke borrower. And this is what happened. Now, let me give you the history of the one China of why this is so important. China Japan tried to invade China. Japan also tried to invade the Philippines. Why? Because they were trying to take a large gold holding that was known as Musharraf Gold. And this is why the Japanese were known as tyrannical prisoners, because they went through the Philippines looking for the gold to steal, because it was a very large gold holding and it was never really found. In my estimation, I know who has it. It's China that has it, because they were able to rebuff the invasion from Japan. And not only were they able to rebuff the invasion of Japan, China had a civil war, and it broke off into, there were two parts and parties to this war. It was the People's Republic of China and the Republic of China. The Republic of China was actually the one that the United States wanted to win originally in 1949. But they were defeated. And in their defeat, they were pushed 1.6, 1.7, or almost 1.8 million of the Republic of China, also known as the, and I'm taking this off of memory, the KMT, was defeated. Kuomintang. And the Kuomintang was pushed out of China to Taiwan. One of the things about this is when you control assets, particularly gold, and particularly things of intrinsical importance, you don't have to invade anyone. You've already defeated them because you have what they're going to need to be able to survive monetarily in the economy. This is why you see China has never invaded any country. The U.S., on the other hand, has to invade countries because it has no real wealth. It is the stealer of wealth. And then it's squandered and taken because they defaulted on their loans. So now, here's why this is so important. So in 1944, the Chinese Communist Party won the Civil War backed by the Russians. The Soviet Union helped them, and they were able to win the war, and they pushed the Republic of China to the island of Taiwan. And this was going on in 1949. And all of this led to the Korean War as well, where China and Russia supported North Korea. Now, why is this so important? This was so important because in 71, the U.S. realized that they were done. So they had to make a deal with China. And China says, okay, cool, we'll make a deal with you, we'll buy your debt, but you're going to give us the collateral up front in case you ever default. And if you ever default, we will not be on the hook. You will. And this is why one of the things with the reserve currency of the world, the U.S. after World War II, was having everyone send their gold to the U.S. for safekeeping, and they never gave it back to them. I also believe in the pullet in 9/11, part of the gold that was taken out of the World Trade Center was also sent to China, just like the cash for gold scheme. You saw cash for gold places everywhere here in the United States. None of that gold stayed here. It went to China. The cash for clunkers, the China was saying, we don't want your cash anymore. You're going to have to give us something of collateral. You're going to have to give us some form of metals. And that's where the cash for clunker came about. And they were sending the metals from the cash for clunkers to China because the U.S. had already defaulted. And Nixon, throughout all the presidential administration, Kissinger, throughout the whole presidential administration, was establishing to uphold the one China, because if you don't uphold the one China, you have no United States, because that would mean armed confrontation with China, and you lose, because you're broke. But before we get that far, here's what's so significant about it. Right after that, in 73, there was another emergency meeting that Kissinger brokered. He went to Saudi Arabia and told Saudi Arabia, listen, we'll defend you, we'll give you the technical know-how to be able to pull and harvest the oil out of the large oil field that you have in Saudi Arabia. We'll give you the infrastructure, we'll build it for you, we'll assist you with it, and we'll protect you. But here's what we want. You're going to have to sell all of your gold and then persuade the Seven Sisters. And the Seven Sisters was Russia, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, I forgot the other ones. The three other ones. I remember. They were all a part of that before they became OPEC, to go onto the petrodollar system, where every barrel of oil is sold by using a U.S. dollar. And then that way we'll be able to protect you, give you arms, even nuclear, and you'll buy our debt. Why did they have to get them to buy the debt? So that they could pay back China as well.
And Dave,
go ahead, Scotty.
To think I could have lost my life over there in freaking Saudi Arabia during the Gulf War because of the petrodollar.
Yep. And this thing is deep. It's real deep, and it's going to get deeper. And let me tell you how this thing, and you're absolutely right, Scotty, this is what happens here. So that was established. So the petrodollar and the reserve currency status is already established. What did they do? They made the world pay for the U.S. debt. They were exporting debt to the whole world because they had to pay back China, because they couldn't say no because they had no gold. This is why subtly China don't play when it comes to one China policy. And Trump knows, but this is the time that we're going to go into insolvency, and then we're going to go into receivership. So now, that was what Kissinger brokered. And then now he's been an advisor to all of the presidents to uphold the one China rule. Here was the one China rule. One China policy. The one China policy means this, that you do not acknowledge Taiwan as an independent state. The moment you do, that's when they're going to take Taiwan back. Let me tell you something about the Chinese. Remember Hong Kong? They could have very easily taken Hong Kong. But even when they did take Hong Kong, they allowed Hong Kong to be a separate sovereign area as long as they still would say that they are part of China. So they continued. Everyone was so afraid that that was going to be the end of Hong Kong, but China didn't do that. Same thing with Taiwan. They allowed them to go to Taiwan, and they stopped, and they didn't chase them into the sea or destroy them. Could have, but they didn't. They allowed them to remain vibrant as long as they would not try to declare any independence. Because the moment they do that, they're going to take Taiwan. So now, here's what happened. Under Carter, they had started to, they decided to close the embassy. They decided to close the embassy in Taiwan. And the reason why they did that was because China was getting upset. And they knew that at that time that they didn't want to have a problem with China. So they closed it. Now, here's where it got crazy. In 1995, there were three incursions known as the Taiwan is known as the Taiwan Strait crisis. There were three, but one of the most recent ones happened in the 90s, in 95. And in 95, here's what happened. The U.S. allowed the president of Taiwan to return to the United States to go to Cornell, which was his alma mater. And China was pissed because China was aware of negotiations that the U.S. was having with Taiwan. Now, Taiwan had, the U.S. had given arms to Taiwan, which almost sparked a war before with China. But this is what happened in 1995. When that happened in 95, China started to shoot missiles into the Taiwan Strait, and they almost invaded Taiwan. The U.S. sent over a naval armada, and China was about to meet that naval armada. This is why I've always said that the South Sea of China will be where I really think this whole war starts off, and it's going to do it. So the U.S. pulled back and China pulled back. And the whole thing kind of went away, but it's still always right there. So when Trump came on and says, I don't have to listen to a one China policy, and he took the phone call from Taiwan, China now has no more patience for the United States. Why? Because they don't have to. In 95, China realized that it wasn't time yet. They haven't fully engulfed the whole United States economy to implode it at its will. They almost did it in 2008 when the Russians approached them and said, let's sell all of our T-bills now. It will totally destroy the United States. China said, no, not yet. One of the things about China, they don't invade countries. They wait for you to make that fatal mistake. Remember how long they've been around. They wait for you to make that fatal mistake of attacking their sovereignty, and then that's when they go all at you. And they've been able to push back everyone, and they will smash the U.S. And that's what's going to happen in the South Sea of China. This is why they're arming those islands. And one of the things with Japan and China are arch enemies. Japan may turn, when they turn and go towards China. The Philippines have already done it. The U.S. is done now. Here's what I think is going to happen, why it's so important for you before we take calls. Here's why this is so important. We're going to carry on because there's so much more to this that I wasn't able to pull out because of time, but we're going to do it. Here's why this is so important. Now is the perfect time because the U.S. is completely weak. Completely weak. And by it being completely weak, it is now is the time that they can seize everything. Here's how I think it will be done. There will be an incident in the South Sea of China by way of Taiwan. This dude is going to make a fatal mistake by way of Taiwan or in somewhere in the South Sea of China, and is going to spark a war. And one of the first things that's going to happen is that China, before that happens, is going to sell its treasuries in a large amount, which they're already doing right now. Remember, this dude has called them a currency manipulator. China knows what that means and what they're doing. They're going to sell their T-bills. And when they sell their T-bills, the overall dollar is done because everyone else in the world will follow suit. And when they follow suit, ladies and gentlemen, that 70% of $100 bills that's held outside of the United States, oh, you will be making it rain. Because they will, but you will be drowning in paper because all that paper is coming back. All that paper is coming back. Then when you look at OPEC, OPEC is going to totally change. Completely, totally change. Oh, and just remember, the seven sisters, is Saudi, the ones that I missed was Saudi Arabia, Iran, and, China, Russia. China was the one I missed, Iran, and Brazil, and Malaysia. That was the seven sisters from the OPEC crisis in 73 that Kissinger put this whole country in. But here's what's going to happen. So what's going to happen is that they're going to make a fatal mistake and overstep their bounds with China. And China is going to respond militarily and economically. And then the U.S. is going to be forced in making America great again. This is why Trump goes to the Navy, Army-Navy game, and they all start yelling, "Make America great again." You're being set up to go off to slaughter by the very same ones that you worship because you have idol worship within your ranks. You don't support anything moral. It's idol worship. And most of the young people that are in the military have no clue, but they're blindly following the devil's tail. And this devil tail is going to have them deployed all over the world and is going to get that hat handed to them and not be able to get back home because their currency won't be worth a darn. They won't be able to buy the gas to get back. And when this thing happens, the U.S. will surrender. Part of the conditions of this surrendering is that they will totally dismantle the military. They'll have to pay reparations for everything, and they will have to pay those reparations off of the energy back of the off of the collateralization of the energy of every citizen here in the United States. This is where the whole world will be putting their factories.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Considering the statement that you talked about yesterday about China said, "I'll fund your enemies," and we really didn't talk about it openly, and we shouldn't, because it's the wink and the nod. You know what I'm saying? And so when I look at history, my question is this, but I'm trying to set it up with some history. China has given refuge and has always, for over 40 years that I know of, recognized the racism and the oppression of black people and American Indians in this country. So, if everything play out like you spelled out from us from this intelligence that you gathering, if that happens, how do you think, would they treat black people differently, or would we be in the same boat as these racist crackers because we've been serving in their military? What do you think?
I really do think it's going to be this way, Scotty, is that there is going to be time so hard here that there's going to be an awakening, and the divide that is going to happen here, this war is going to be multifaceted. It's going to be a global war that's going to be engaging and a civil war that's going to be ignited here in the United States. And then there will be, because of the necessity to survive, there will be people that realize that, oh, shoot, this is the losing side. There will be deals that will be brokered from within and from without this country. And people will realize, and there will be, and this is the setup, there will be the case where there will be, you know, you've never been a part of that country. Now, I do think that it will be sincere, because it's true. But the big thing is going to be this. Not everybody's going to do it. And it's going to cause even more problems from within the United States. But it won't really matter, because the United States will completely lose. And at the end, the reparations that were originally supposed to be given won't be ever given by the United States of America. It will be given by a country that has influenced the new government of the United States.
I got some more real talk for you, and I'm serious when I say this is real talk. I can see now just how some of these racist people is calling Trump a traitor for this fake news story, this fake controversy that they done created in the media through their assets. But I can see them in that scenario trying to appeal to black people. Come on now, don't y'all betray us. Y'all red, white, and blue like us. We all Americans. And then, I mean, come on. And so I'm just thinking out loud possible scenarios that come across. But I'm gonna tell you, it's going to be some people begging black people to join, to be quote unquote loyal, and y'all still practicing slavery. So those just some things to think about.
And let me tell you, Scotty, let me tell you how this, one of the whole things is this immigration thing. You remember when Trump said that he was talking to those tech leaders about immigration? The immigration is going to be the push towards civil war here. And there is going to be, from exactly what you said, but the catch is this, it's going to be a house divided that won't be able to win. And I can almost guarantee many people don't know what California means. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. Brother Davis, I see you in queue. When we come back, I'll tell you what California means, and I'm going to tell you how I think this whole thing is going to play out and why California is so, so important. It's not, and it's a setup, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm going to tell you what I think, and then we're going to get back to it. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm going to finish this one point, then we're going to open up the lines. If you'd like to get in, give us a call. 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. That's a lot that's here. We didn't get to half of it all, but we will get to it because it's very, very important. You know, this Kissinger person is, and to me, Henry Kissinger is nothing more than the true demonic entity of a human being that has, that actually, you know, changes right in front of you. And this dude has been responsible for so many things, from GMOs to vaccinations to everything. And this is very, very important that we know who these individuals are and what they're all about and what's being supported behind this whole thing. So just before we, Brother Davis, 1 second, I'll go to you in a minute. I want to say California is going to be a very critical state, crucial state, because in the losing of the war, we have to realize what California means. California is named after a regalian queen, Khalifa. And she ruled for many a years with gold and with a sovereignty that was unprecedented, that they try to hide from you. Black people have been here for a very long time. And let me tell you something. The Chinese know it. And I know that that is going to come into play as this whole immigration thing starts to unfold and totally destabilizes this country, where the fight will be from within while your children are fighting abroad and losing the fight abroad. We are being directed by a demonic entity. And until we realize this, we will continue the path of destruction. I think it's very important that we position ourselves accordingly for this whole thing. And in positioning ourselves accordingly for this whole thing, establish our own collective prudence among ourselves to get through it. Because it is going to be heavy. The capital controls, this is why they put TSA in. That's capital controls, folks. You won't be able to go from one side of the country to the other. And then the destabilization of the monetary system and a war on top of that is going to be great. It is going to be great. There is going to be a civil war from within, and it's going to start with this immigration thing, because that's the Trojan horse. And I would definitely say sovereignty among you, yourself, your family, and the community is going to be more important than being deceived by the new systems that is going to be looking for you to maintain and support things. I would highly, highly suggest that me, myself, I don't salute or I don't give any form of idol worship to anything. No institution rules me, nor do I need to be a part of an organization, nor do I consider myself having to be a so-called citizen born by within boundaries of the laid out penmanship of some man. I think it's very important that we remain true to who we are, because there are going to be some very deceptive times that are going to come in. People that you think are your friends aren't going to be your friends. Think people that you think that you would be able to trust, in actuality, they have an agenda. So I firmly, firmly think that it's going to be critical for you to prepare for that, because if you don't prepare for it, it will be extremely easy for you to be sucked up in to the workforce, into the overall demise, because every empire falls. So, hey, let's get to some of these calls that's there. Brother Davis, go ahead, Brother Davis. Brother Davis?
Hey, brother, it's always good to hear the voice of a friend.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Hey, but I wanted to add to the fact that, listen, if this tonight's show has it made you reflect on to last night's show, then literally you got lost in the mix. But I'm just going to say this here in closing. President Mugabe said, in the UN Council. You came to our country. You stole our land. You stole our resources. We take it back. We owe you nothing. It speaks for itself. I'm listening, brother. I'll be in the back.
Yes, sir. So true. It's so, so true. And they hate Robert Mugabe. They actually hate Robert Mugabe. So great, great point. And this is the deception that Brother Davis was talking about. We need to be able to look past all of these things, because what is being set up right now from the so-called CIA fighting the FBI, that's all a part of the ploy. But what's really going on here, ladies and gentlemen, is that they are about to steal energy like never before. They're going back to the overall slave workforce in an expanded role where every single person, the same thing in Venezuela where they decreed that people will have to work for the government, has already been penned in 13603, executive order that Obama signed. In the national emergency, under a national emergency, you will be working for the government without pay. Slavery. So we got another caller that's in queue. Welcome, caller, from 626 area code. What is your name? What is your question? And where are you, and where are you calling from?
On the West Coast. This is Carl. I got to tell you, Dave and Scotty, you know, definitely enjoying what you guys are doing. You know, I listen to most of the rebroadcasts when I get a chance. There was something that you brought up a little earlier, and a lot of it, first off, I want to back up a little bit. You talked about capital controls. You couldn't be more right, and that's a global thing. Basically, and when I say not just capital controls, but also in terms of labor, or we call it protectionism.
Yeah.
I should say, in other words, a lot of folks don't realize that the world has become more competitive, or I should say more competitive, needy, cronyistic, informed, wanting, demanding, militaristic, you name it. And a lot of that has, you know, once the world becomes more informed, basically what happens is everybody's going to demand and want more, and then they're going to increase, you know, the access to information gets easier. I could find out what someone's doing in Kazakhstan in 2 seconds. I couldn't do that back in the 70s. So the thing is, as the world becomes, you know, more and more, of course, they're going to start becoming more protectionist. And it's not just capital controls of not letting money leave. Because keep in mind, I'm sure that you've watched what happened. I missed yesterday's broadcast, and I'm almost sure you brought it up about the Fed's increasing of interest rates. Basically, of what's going on there is a lot of that. Keep in mind that the dollar is the reserve. And I was just talking to one of my fellow students. He's a trader, and I teach a lot of traders. And I was telling him about the fact that, of course, you've got the dollar, which has got seniorage. Okay, and it's had it, of course, post gold. You know, I should even say Bretton Woods. Once the dollar seniorage happened, when they raised the interest rates, everybody's going to be trying to hold on to every dollar they can. It hurt all the emerging markets. Well, they need to find another way to trade. And what I mean by that is they need to find another way to say we're done with America's, or I should say the West's way of dominating. We're done with its seniorage. We're done with its hegemony. We need to find bilateral trade deals. We need to find other things. And that in and of itself, I know you brought up something on China dumping treasuries or whatnot. That in and of itself, it sets up, and I won't go on too many tangents, but it sets the world up for a global game of old maid. Who's going to hold the old maid last? And it's not just a devalued dollar. It's also in terms of labor. You've got other nations that have an increasing demographic of a growing demographic, a lot of younger. When I say demographic, I'm talking about the youth. These other nations that have, you know, the majority of populations that are growing are the youth, you know, the under 25 and whatnot. I'm thinking of India. I'm thinking of parts of South America, Africa. And that's a whole, you know, a whole different thing of protectionism. That's a whole different, you know, a different wrench to throw in the mix in terms of where America's headed. Now, I know that's a lot to digest, and, you know, I'm going on my tangents, but the thing is when you were bringing up China and, you know, the aspect of, you know, a lot of these scenarios that are playing in, you know, this one China policy, you brought up the relationship between China and Japan and Japan running back to China. Keep in mind, and hopefully all this ties together, as the world became, as folks call, more flat or more competitive, or, you know, it's a lot more transparent, a lot of nations, whether it's Japan or whoever else, are going to go to wherever they see their future for the future demographic, whether it's India and those youth that are growing in, you know, the, you know, if you go to a call center, you know, to get your computer fixed, it's either India or the Philippines. Well, these folks, they're looking for their future. They're looking out after, okay, what's going to be the future of our nation? And we can't tie it up into a dying Western mentality or a dying Western, you know, ideology, or even a dying Western economy. What's going to be? So that, what you're seeing is you're seeing a lot of folks trying to hedge themselves. They're trying to say, okay, we could still, since we need those dollars, you know, especially when they increase interest rates, which was strategically done, kind of like to keep everybody holding that old maid, or it's like trying to keep everybody hooked on crack called the dollar. As they see that, they need to also make other hedges, okay? And I hope this is digestible. Basically, what it is,
no, Carl,
is saying, look,
you're absolutely right. Go ahead, finish out, Carl.
They're saying, because of the fact that, you know, we still have to maintain the white Western way of going about it, we're going to have to make new trade, whether it's using the blockchain, whatever it is, new trade mechanisms, new ways of banking payment, or what I call what the economic system of the West is based upon, which is credit, payments, and banking, and that's the three stages, the basic fundamentals of all Western economies. These other nations are saying, how are we going to hedge that should we not be able to continue that Western way of doing it? I don't know in terms of a time frame as to where, you know, a lot of it has to do with the fact that everybody's trying to make sure that they've, you know, fortified themselves, not only their economies, but also strategically should something happen physically in case of wars. They've also have to make sure that their trade relationships, should something happen where they might not have access to dollars, or, you know, maybe they're doing different trades, they make sure that they have, you know, good trade relationships irrespective of the West or whatnot. But I mean, there's so much I could talk about. I hope it's digestible. You know,
no, it's very digestible, and I want to thank you, Carl, because you're spot on. Let me just say, and let me say what and how I would respond to Carl. Carl is absolutely right. This is the thing that happened with the Fed doing the 25. I mean, quarter increase on the interest rate. Here's the problem with that. In currency wars, the you don't want to win a currency war. The objective in a currency war is to lose. Now, the dollar now is going to be a whole lot stronger. Now, you would think that that's a good thing. That is a good thing for you, as Carl said, to hedge yourself. You need to use your dollars and then acquire assets that are going to be, that are going to maintain their intrinsical value going forward. This is the thing about the dollar. As the dollar goes, it's just, I like to put it this way. Before a sun goes into supernova, it doesn't get smaller, it gets bigger. It inflates. And now, the bad thing about the interest rate going up is this, is that the debt is still there. And now you have to pay more interest on the debt that you hold. And I would say this is the way the world is going to be looking at it. Is that since the dollar is so strong, we should be using our dollars to acquire other things to get rid of it. But the thing is this, is that they never buy anything from the United States because it costs too much. The trade isn't worth it. Your dollar is too much. Now I can go and get a better tradable deal in another country. The key to a currency war is not to go up. This is why Trump is calling them a currency manipulator, when the U.S. has been the currency manipulator of other countries' currency in the global, because you lost. And this is a very, very dangerous thing. Carl is absolutely right. The dollar hegemony is done, completely done. And you should know this to make the proper things. And we're going to talk about some of those proper things next week. Because it's so, so important that we do. Carl, brother, thank you for, man, make sure you call again.
I was going to say one last thing I just wanted to bring up. First off, hopefully one day you and I could talk offline and I can give you some little insights. And the other thing is, I'm glad you brought it up in terms of trade, of how it afflicts black folk. Keep in mind, as you said, and you hit the nail on the head, currency wars, it's about losing. The lower the currency you have, the better you could trade with around the world. The problem is, if you're looking at the indexes right now in terms of shipping, global trade is at an all-time low. So
all time
that's
low.
Just something.
Yes.
To put in your feather. But I do appreciate you guys allowing me to speak, and hopefully one day we could talk offline.
Well, definitely, Carl. So just you have the email. Just shoot me an email, or
okay.
Yeah, looking forward to a call. We got another call. Caller is absolutely right. All right, mm-hmm. Definitely, brother. Talk to you soon. Caller is mm-hmm. absolutely right. So we'll pick up from there. We got a couple of other callers in queue. Let's go to those callers. Rise, go, brother.
Peace. How you doing?
What's up, brother? How you feeling?
Hey, I'm good. Brilliant show. The previous brother that was speaking, brilliant. You were not lost on me at all, and I'm pretty sure you're not lost on the Kendall listeners. Just great, and I would love to hear you chime in some more as well. I was thinking when you were talking about California, Queen Calafia, and the whole idea of immigration being the linchpin of the Civil War here. If you really step back and take a planetary look, they're setting it up for a global uprising by the minority white community. That's what's fueling the Brexit. I mean, everything is being fueled about white people being angry about non-white people moving to their country and so-called taking their jobs. And I remember Dr. Ben spoke about that decades ago. He talked about the fact that when Caribbean people first started coming, because he was living in New York at the time, but when Caribbean people first started migrating to New York in the 60s and 70s, that the African-Americans that were here, some of them were angry because they felt like we moved here to take their jobs. And it created this enmity between the two groups in the very beginning. And he discussed the fact that it was culture that brought the two groups together. It was the Caribbean culture as far as just the music and the food and that stuff. And then Caribbean people accepting and looking more into the American culture. And eventually you had intermarriage and all of these things broke down those walls. Now, if you look at white supremacy, that's exactly what they've done. Because remember with the Great Migration, when black people first started moving to the north to escape the tyranny of white supremacy down there, the white people revolted, they rioted, they killed black people wholesale, saying that they were taking their jobs. So the setup is collapse the dollar, and then all of the foreigners are going to be your enemy, not the government who set up the collapse of the dollar in the first place. And that's what you've seen with the Brexit. People were telling, when the Brexit happened, they were telling people go back to Africa, all of this kind of nonsense, because their whole mind state was white supremacy, not the dollar. And they're easily manipulated in that sense because they only function on genetic survival. So what you're saying is completely accurate, and it's something for us to really think about, because what's going to happen is they're going to manipulate civil wars between white people and all the other non-white people, and then eventually it's going to be also between the non-white people who don't understand the way the system works. And I don't only see that happening here. I see that happening all over Europe. Anywhere where there's enough of a white population that they can dominate with weaponry and killing non-white people, you're going to see the same thing, not just here, but everywhere that they're in control. Thank you. And brilliant show. I love you, brother. Thanks again.
Much love, much respect. Man, this is a global move. This is a global effort. This is the real threat. And we have to be able to look past the deceptions that go on here. This is about depopulation, globalization, and subjugation. They want to continue to have the have and the have-nots, because hate has an expiration date, and so they have to regenerate that hate in another form, in another way. Until the people of this world realize that no longer do we have to be led by a leash, by someone that takes us to our own demise, then we will continue to have and allow ourselves to be put into these global wars against each other. And it is one that is unsurvivable at the current rate. And we have to understand the thing that we lose the most is our free will. We surrender this to the system. So very well said, and this is, you're absolutely right. It's a global thing that's going to be pushing, and it is something that is going to gain the actual system, the energy that's creating this will gain more if we continue to play by their rules. If we play by their rules, they will rule. So we got another caller in queue. Mel, shoot, brother, we got three minutes. Mel? John? Mel?
Oh, crap. I was on mute. Can you hear me?
Yeah. No, you're good, bro. I figured you were.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, brother.
I had a lot to say, but I'm not going to say because we're out of time. But I just wanted to ask you if the correlation, is there a correlation between the San Francisco 49ers and, you know, the gold rush, the 49 gold rush with China?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, yes. There definitely is. That's why they're called the 49ers, the minor 49ers. Yes. That's yes. It all, there's so many subtleties about gold and silver that we don't even recognize it at all, you know? And it's very huge. So yes, sir. But hey, you know what? We're gonna pick up part two on this on tomorrow. So Mel, call in with some of the questions that you had, and you said you had a lot. Don't worry about it. Let's get to it. But let's do it tomorrow.
Okay. Love you, Scotty. Love you, Ross. Love you, Dave. Love you, everybody. Love.
Definitely. We got one more caller. We got 1 minute left. Go ahead, brother Brad. Go ahead, brother.
Hey Dave, as you and my man was talking, I could only think about one thing. This substitute paper that they give you, Federal Reserve notes that they call money, which is backed by nothing. If it's not backed by gold or silver, it's actually illegal by the Constitution. I'm going to say peace. I just wanted to get that in. Have a good day.
Yes, sir. My brother Bryce. Hey, give me a call in the morning. Much love and much respect. Okay, everyone. We're going to pick up on this on part two. Just would like to thank all of you that called, Brother Braggs, Mel, Carl, Brother Davis. Extremely appreciate you. Thank you, Scotty, for your input. There's a whole lot more to this that I didn't get to, but we'll get to it, God willing, because we really need to look at what's going on, because just, you know, what is unseen is more real than what's seen. We have to start to resonate within our spiritual guidelines, because then we can never be deceived. Much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Peace. Talk to you soon.